Welcome back to episode 13 of the FPL Draft Hub podcast. This week, looking ahead to game week 12. Welcome back, Draft Fantasy Managers. My name's Mitch and I'm your host. If it's your first time, welcome to the podcast. If you like what you hear at the end, then please click subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on. Really help us out. Recording this on Thursday evening after the official waiver deadline has already passed, but still plenty of time to play around in free agency late in the day, so not going to be the longest podcast. Planned to do this earlier, but unfortunately real life got in the way. Got a few talking points to discuss, particularly going to talk about Leicester and Chelsea. Also going to make a case for some Arsenal and Newcastle players. Pick out a few other teams who have got decent fixtures coming up. As it is past the waiver deadline, I'm going to run through some of the waivers that processed a few hours ago in our league to maybe give you some inspiration for some free agents you've been eyeing up. So yeah, it won't be the longest podcast this week, so let's get straight into it. So aside from Manchester City and Liverpool at the top of the table, the two standout teams so far are Leicester and Chelsea. Lots of people at the beginning of the season were saying good things about Leicester, predicting them to do well and maybe push for the top four. Chelsea less so, with Frank Lampard coming in with the transfer ban, essentially taking on half the team from Derby County who failed to get into the Premier League. But they've really impressed this season. So I'm going to talk a little bit about those two teams just to, I guess, give you the inspiration to try and pick some of these players up, probably on trades because most of them will be tied up already. And then I'm going to talk about a few other teams before finishing up at the end and going through some of the waivers. So looking at Leicester firstly, and they seem pretty settled in their 4-1-4-1 formation. Really settled back five with Schmeichel in goal, Pereira at right back, Evans and Soyuncu in the middle, and Ben Chilwell at left back. I would take any of them if I had the opportunity. Best defence in the Premier League in terms of goals conceded, having conceded only 8 goals. Just 2 clean sheets so far this season, but both of those have come in the last 2 fixtures. They have a really, really good run of fixtures coming up as well. Slightly tricky game next as they host Arsenal, who will be looking for a big performance, but then have quite a nice run of games as they travel to Brighton, then host Everton and Watford, then go away to Aston Villa before hosting Norwich. If I had to go for one of those defenders, it would be Chilwell, just because of the attacking threat that he offers, crossing in from the left. In the middle of that 4-1-4-1 is Ndidi. Seems to be nailed on at central defensive midfielder position, averaging just over 3 points per game. So wouldn't be the worst fifth midfielder spot if you're just looking for somebody to possibly come off of the bench and give you a little steady stream of points. In terms of the next four, the midfield four, it seems as though it's settled with Eozie Perez on the right, Harvey Barnes on the left, and Maddison and Tielemans through the middle. If I had to pick one of these players up, I think Maddison would be my first choice, averaging 5.3 points per game from his 10 appearances so far. Tielemans would be my next shout. He's averaging 4.6 from 11 appearances. I know I've just given you a couple of numbers there based on their game so far this season. I would be wary of the numbers. If you're looking at trading for one of these guys, just be aware of the inflation caused by that freak result away at Southampton. The Leicester starting 11 averaged more than 10 points for that match in particular. So all of those Leicester players are going to have a decent points per game average just because of that one result. Needless to say, Vardy is the main man up front, and you'll probably find it difficult to prize him away from whoever wavered him at the beginning of the season. In terms of the other players, the fringe players, I can't really make a strong case for anybody outside of that first 11. Depending on the opponents, I think Hamza Chowdhury is probably going to see some minutes if Leicester go to, for more of a 4-2-3-1, slightly more defensive. In that scenario, either Harvey Barnes or Ayoze Perez will probably miss out. And then you've got Damari Gray and the new signing Pret, who have, you know, featured sporadically. Albrighton as well hasn't really seen much game time. I think they'll all come on late in games, but none have shown that much so far from the minutes that they've got, with just the odd assist here and there. So I wouldn't be rushing to pick up these guys. Next, let's talk about Chelsea. Again, seem to be getting more settled in their starting 11. Have discussed Chelsea on both of the pods with fellow managers, one being a Chelsea fan, and at the time, earlier on in the season, it wasn't entirely clear what was going on in that starting 11. It's still not totally clear, not to the extent that it is for Leicester, but I think we're starting to see a real strong starting 11 emerging here. 4-2-3-1 seems to be the formation. Keeper in goal, fairly nailed on. Same with Azpilicueta for now at right back. I think given the injuries to Rudiger and Christensen, Tomori looks nailed for now. In terms of the left back spot, still up in the air. Alonso looked to have reclaimed the spot from Emerson when Emerson was out injured. Started 6 games on the bounce. Picked up 35 points during that time with a goal, 2 assists and 2 clean sheets. Looked to be on a great run, and then Emerson comes in and starts against Watford. So definitely still a bit of a merry-go-round going on there at left back for Chelsea. If you have one of those two, I don't think there's much cause to drop one of them just yet. They're probably gonna share enough game time. I think if Lampard was hard pushed to choose one of them now, it seems like Emerson is the favourite there. So if I had to get one of them right now, it'd be Emerson. I think he's probably gonna see more Premier League minutes, and we'll see Alonso a little bit more in the cup games. Looking at Chelsea's defence more generally, if I compare it to Leicester, I don't really feel as confident picking up a Chelsea defensive asset as I do compared to a Leicester one currently. They generally don't look like keeping teams out for 90 minutes, so I certainly wouldn't go all out to bring a Chelsea defender in a trade, and certainly wouldn't occupy myself trying to guess which left back is playing each week either. In terms of the midfield, the attacking midfield three of Mount, Pulisic and Willian seems fairly settled based on performances in the last few games. Mount did come off injured early on in the Champions League game on Tuesday, but current reports are saying that he will be fit enough for the game at the weekend against Crystal Palace. Tammy Abraham is obviously set to continue up front, given his good run of form. And I think any of those attacking four would be great to have, because behind Manchester City and Leicester, they are the third highest scorers in the league, level on Liverpool with 25 goals so far. Callum Hudson-Odoi would be the other player likely to see minutes and possibly get a start over one of the previously mentioned players. You know, if the likes of Mount or any of the other two aren't fit on a given day, I think he's the one most likely to slot in, and would certainly hang on to him if you have him already. The central midfield pair for Chelsea are interesting. I picked up Jorginho last week, which I'll deem a success, as he managed to get a great assist for Tammy Abraham's goal. Kante is back from injury now, so it seems like a like-for-like, an easy like-for-like swap to bring Kante in this week alongside Kovacic. But when all three of them are fit, I think Lampard really has a decision on his hands there, because I think most people will agree that Kante is probably the best central defensive midfielder in the league, but the pairing of Jorginho and Kovacic looks really good at the moment, and he'll find it hard to really break that up. But I guess this injury is taking that decision out of his hands, at least for one more game. Any of those starting central defensive midfielders, similar to Ndidi, would be a good source of a steady 2 or 3 points each game, with the odd assist and goal here and there. Jorginho obviously takes a few penalties when he's on the pitch, and takes them really well. I think he's, for me, would be the penalty taker at Chelsea just based on his success rate. So all of those could be worth thinking about as a fifth midfielder spot. The other two teams I wanted to talk about slightly more briefly are Newcastle and Arsenal. both for different reasons. Arsenal in terms of their attacking threat and Newcastle in terms of their defensive stability. I'll start with Newcastle then. At the beginning of the season, they really looked like the worst team in the league, struggling to keep out teams, struggling to score. And lots of people were condemning them to go down. Since then, they have turned things around. They are looking like more of a cohesive team. There seems to be more of a plan there. They've managed to get themselves up out of the relegation zone with two wins and a draw in their last five, putting them on 12 points. They're 4 points clear now of Southampton in 18th. Defensively look strong, obviously playing with a back five, so you'd expect that. Willems in the left wing back spot, getting into some really great attacking positions. Looks the more likely of the two wing backs to get into attacking positions with a goal and two assists already. So if I was picking one of either him or Yedlin, it would definitely be him. Looks to be the most informed Newcastle player at the moment. And just in general, the defence looks strong. Lascelles is always a solid player to have with a bit of a goal threat. Fabian Schär, always a goal threat as well, though I think he's injured at the moment. So Yedlin's a safe starter for more clean sheet points rather than attacking returns. But all could be options if you do fancy a Newcastle defender. The next game is at home to Bournemouth, and then they've got a fairly good run. Away to Aston Villa, hard game at home to Manchester City, but then away to Sheffield, Southampton at home, away to Burnley, and Palace at home. Good few teams there that Newcastle will feel confident about keeping out. So if you are struggling in defence and looking for some other options, could be a good differential there over some of the other players in the league, who I doubt many of them are owned. Maybe Lascelles is owned by someone, but the majority won't be picked up. On to Arsenal then. As I said, for different reasons, the back four looks relatively settled there at the moment, but I would stay away because they always look like conceding. But on the other hand, they do always look like scoring. Now, the likes of Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe will all be taken. However, Ceballos or Mesut Ozil could be available. Ozil may be worth a punt for the next few games. If Arsenal Fan TV is anything to go on, Ozil seems to have put in a couple of decent performances, at least from the fans' point of view. Only his second start of the season in that home game against Wolves, but sounds like he had a good game despite not coming away with an attacking return. We all know what Ozil can do on his day. Can easily score and assist various goals and really turn over teams, especially against some of the smaller teams at home. Maybe less so away from home, but I think that goes for most of the Arsenal players in general, just who have struggled away from home for quite a long time now. Ceballos started well in the season, hasn't really shown much since then. In the last game against Wolves, both Ozil and Ceballos both started for Arsenal there at the expense of Pepe. Not sure whether that's going to be a goer long term. I think they lack something with Pepe off the pitch. And for me, the personnel that they've got would lend themselves quite well to a 4-2-3-1 with either Guendouzi and Torreira or Xhaka or somebody else who's not fighting the fans to sit in the middle. Pepe on the right, Aubameyang on the left, Lacazette up front, and either Ozil or Ceballos in the number 10 role. And based on recent performances, you'd have to favour Ozil to get the nod there at the moment. Although, given the background of Emery's summer Arsenal so far, can never guarantee Ozil's going to start because it's clear he's not in the manager's plans long term. And I think if he had his way, Ozil would be out the door. Though, probably looks like if anyone's going to be leaving anytime soon, it's Emery. So if you're listening to this and thinking about who you can pick up on your free agent list before the deadline on Friday evening, then a lot of the players I've mentioned already, barring the Newcastle players, are probably taken, and so trading for them now isn't really an option. So I'm just going to quickly run through a few other teams who you might want to consider grabbing a defender or grabbing a midfielder just to play for a week or two or sit on the bench as a contingency. And some of these teams you will notice are reflected quite heavily in the waivers that happened in our league earlier today. So Wolves are the first team to mention. Play Villa at home in this game, and then after the international break, play Bournemouth, Sheffield, West Ham and Brighton. So could be a defender there you're able to pick up for a month or so, or even one of their attacking midfielders like Moutinho, who could be available. Southampton also have decent fixtures, though have obviously struggled heavily this season, sitting in 18th spot in the table with just 1 point from their last five games. They did play well against Manchester City and were unlucky in the end not to come away with a point there. Despite being, you know, under the cosh for most of the game, they defended pretty well, looked organised. James Ward-Prowse looked lively for the goal. And if they were able to play with that kind of quality and intensity in their other games, I think they'll be fine this season. Their next home game is against Everton, which I think is a good fixture for Southampton. It's not a team that's just going to come and look to park the bus. Everton will look to play, and I think that'll help Southampton. And after the break, they've got games against Arsenal, Watford, Norwich, Newcastle, West Ham and Villa. So again, maybe someone that you can hold on to for slightly longer than just 1 week who might be able to find a good run of form. Burnley are another team. Play West Ham at home this game. And I think Sean Dyche will really be looking for a clean sheet in that one and a chance for Burnley to turn around some poor recent fixtures after the great start that they had with three losses on the bounce now. I can really see Burnley playing well in that game. And they also have Watford and Crystal Palace after the break, so you could maybe hold on to one of those players for 2 or 3 weeks. The last team to mention is Bournemouth. As discussed in the last podcast, grinding out some results. Three draws, a win and a loss from their last five. Three clean sheets in a row, which is really impressive. Two 0-0 draws and then beating Man United 1-0 at home, which was a really good result for them. Attacking-wise, they're struggling to really find the form that they had last season. Fraser hasn't really got into his stride yet. Wilson and King still look like they're able to capitalise on the few chances that have been carved out, but they're not blowing teams away. But the defenders, you know, look like really useful players to pick up. Going away to Newcastle this week, you know, the type of game you could easily see finishing 0-0. As I said, they've had two 0-0 results in the last three games. Certainly reflected in the waivers that happened in our league, which I'll go through in a minute. The likes of Nathan Aké are probably taken, if any of them would be already. Rico has had a really strong run of games at left back, getting in some good attacking positions. In his last 3 weeks, he scored 6, 5 and 8 points, which is a really good average. He's got 2 assists already, so would definitely be one to consider picking up if you are looking to get a late defender. And then Steve Cook and Adam Smith also look like reliable options at the back there. Steve Cook, no attacking returns so far this season, and Adam Smith getting the assist for the goal in the last game. If you're just trying to play clean sheet roulette and grind a 5 or 6 points out from someone, then you can't go far wrong with picking up one of those Bournemouth defenders. So let's have a look at the waivers that were processed earlier this evening in the Shook Ones League. First waiver for bottom of the league was Harry Wilson in for Fornals. Seemed like quite a straightforward choice for me. Out of all of the midfielders that were available in our waiver pile, Harry Wilson was sat on the best points tally on 34 with the 3 goals that he scored so far. So nothing controversial there. The next waiver was slightly more controversial as Luke Shaw was brought in and Marcus Alonso was dropped. So that manager decided to jump off the Chelsea left-back merry-go-round, deciding it's not worth the hassle. Probably a low chance of picking up a clean sheet anyway. Shaw, slightly interesting choice as he's not due back until the 24th of November when Manchester United go to Sheffield, which will be a really difficult game for them. They've then got a slightly kinder fixture as they host Aston Villa. They then play Spurs, Manchester City and Everton in the next three games. So it seems like an odd time to be looking to bring in a Manchester United defender, given the second priority slot they had in the waiver list. The third waiver was Pereira in, Watford's Pereira, that is. And Ndidi was dropped. Watford, who have got a nice run of games now against Norwich, Burnley and Southampton, so that manager banking on Watford finding some goals. Mesut Ozil was brought in next for Fernandinho, so manager there banking on Ozil finding a little run of form. The next two managers both tried to waiver in Bournemouth's Rico, so one was disappointed there, but the other was able to then drop Hugo Lloris and bring in Henderson, which seems like a solid move there. Danny Rose was brought in for Balbuena of West Ham. Manager there, hoping for Tottenham to turn things around. Not convinced Rose is going to start, to be honest. Ben Davies looked far more solid in the last game, and Rose played away in the Champions League in midweek, so probably feel like Ben Davies is more likely to play the league game. My waiver was next, and I had the fairly easy choice to drop Jorginho, who's picked up enough yellow cards to earn himself a one-match ban. I decided to pick up James Ward-Prowse, who, as I said, has got Southampton host Everton, which I think will be a good game for them. And I might elaborate on that a little bit more at the end of the podcast when I choose the feature picks for this week. The manager above me also banking on Watford having a good run of form as he brought in Decore and dropped Lucas Moura. And the manager top of the league waived in another Bournemouth defender from the list, Adam Smith. Beyond that, in the rest of the waivers, there wasn't too much more excitement. Williams of Newcastle was brought in. A couple of Wolves defenders were brought in. Loughton of Burnley was brought in. Lascelles, another Newcastle defender, picked up. And Gineppo is another player picked up who has obviously been out for a little while with an injury, but scored a couple of great goals prior to his time out. And in a really exciting waiver, Mina was swapped for Keane, both of Everton. So from that list of waivers there from our group, now that is a 10-man league, so the waiver pile may not be as rich and nutritious as yours in some of the smaller leagues, but just to give you an idea of some of the players and some of the obvious thoughts that the managers have gone with there, backing Bournemouth's defence, backing Watford's attack and backing Wolves' defence too. So it'd be interesting to see how they pan out. Finally then, I'm going to do the feature picks for this week, as we do every week. So we have our Nicolas Anelka mercenary pick, which is your short-term 1 week punt, and then we've got the Raheem Sterling Rising Stars, who are players you might want to look at for slightly longer term gains. So our Nicolas Anelka mercenary of the week this week is James Ward-Prowse, who, slightly self-indulgent, as I just mentioned, I did waiver him in. Only a couple of goals so far this year, scored in the last game, and I think is really due a run of form to approach his usual tally. Scored 7 last year, many of those from direct free kicks. Still looks like a danger in those positions. Now, Everton have obviously, unfortunately, lost Andre Gomez, and there's also a chance that Delph may be injured for that game, so possibly struggling in central midfield there. I think Schneiderlin will almost certainly step in, and possibly another player with less minutes, maybe Tom Davies. And given that it won't be such a settled combination there, can see Southampton maybe winning a few fouls in dangerous areas as a result, and possibly James Ward-Prowse then able to capitalise on them. Hopefully. And the Raheem Sterling Rising Star pick this week is probably a star that's already risen and is definitely on everyone's radar after the hat-trick he scored in game week 10, but it's Christian Pulisic, who I'm picking 4 goals in 2. Expect him to start taking on more and more responsibility in that attack. Seems to have nailed on a starting spot in that team. And, you know, if you were able to factor him into any potential trades that you're doing, if you have him, I would certainly value him quite high. Could be a good chance to sell him high. But equally, if you don't have him, he's certainly a player I would look to trade for. So the waiver deadline's already passed, but your final deadline for free agents is 7 o'clock on Friday the 8th, ahead of Friday night football, which is Norwich against Watford. Really important game so early on in the season, with both teams struggling in 19th and 20th spots. Whichever team fails to come away from there with a result, you'd have to really fear for, especially Norwich. I think if Norwich were to lose that game, they're going to really struggle to make it out of this league. Watford, I think, still have a decent chance. We know some of what their players can do, and they still have Troy Deeney to come back in over the next few weeks. But yeah, I really think Norwich is a must-win game for them at home. And some other interesting fixtures around for game week 12. The big one, obviously, to round off the weekend, Liverpool against Manchester City, which should be a really interesting game. And also Leicester against Arsenal, the evening game on Saturday. Be really interested to see how Leicester are able to get on there at home against a slightly stronger opposition, and see how that defence fares against a bit of a stronger test. The other thing I want to mention just before finishing off and reiterate from the last podcast is that if you haven't already, to check out fpldrafthub.com, whereby you can sign up for free and get personalised stats for your draft league. So you simply log in, plug in your FPL details, and it will be able to show you lots of really neat, colourful graphs and charts based on how your team's performing, loads of different metrics against the other teams in your league. We'll also show you where you're getting your points, how the points are changing with each position, show you which players you're more reliant on, and also show you a manager of the month, which you can maybe start incorporating into your group chat. Another reason to check fbldrafthub.com out is for the articles. And there is a super article that was published yesterday regarding Sheffield United, in which Taron, the creator and admin of FPL Draft Hub, has written a very in-depth thesis on the way that Sheffield play, particularly looking at Lundstrom, showing heat maps, going into the data points, looking at where Sheffield are able to intercept the ball. So if you do anything, I would definitely recommend checking that out. I'll post the link in the description of this podcast so you can find it easily, and just have a look around when you get there, really. So obviously this podcast has come slightly later in the week than is ideal, but still time for you to make a change and bring in the free agent that could make or break your week. Best of luck with that. Enjoy the games this weekend, because we do have the international break after, so we'll have a couple of weeks away from fantasy football. Got a few podcasts planned for the break. As always, stay shook, and I'll be back in your ears next week.